You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
This is MLB.com Extras, Chicago White Sox edition. I'm Anthony Kastrovitz, pleased to be joined, as always, by Mr. Scott Merkin. Merk, if I'm a White Sox fan, I'm tuning into this podcast. I need somebody to talk me down off the ledge. Will you talk me down off the ledge? Tell me what.
Well,
where am I trying to hope?
Here's
right
what
now?
I can tell you to get down from the ledge. It's only 22 games of a 162 game season, and I know that will be met with yes, but they're playing bad baseball, and I would agree on that. But one of the things that I like about this team is the bullpen is set, which it has not been in the last couple of years, and the areas that are struggling, primarily the offense and the starting pitching, are the areas that they believe are areas of strength. So unless they just completely misjudge those areas, in which case there's not going to be much of a change one way or the other, I think there's still hope. Now, I'm not saying they're going to turn around and become a 95-win team, but I do think that this right now is a pretty decent team playing very bad baseball. And there is time to turn that around for sure.
Let's delve into the biggest surprise. I mean, teams get off to slow offensive starts. That happens. But I'm really surprised with the rotation. I would not have expected them to have the third highest starters ERA going into the week. And, of course, there's been some good starts sprinkled in there, but Jeff Samardzija is not off to the start you expect. Chris Sale got knocked around by the Twins, which is never something you expect. And then to me, the biggest surprise is Jose Quintana, who, you know, we said so many glowing things about going into this season, deservedly so. He's got that ERA north of 5. So talk to me. Let's talk through this rotation, Merk. And first of all, with Sale and Samardzija, I don't suspect there's a tremendous amount of anxiety there, but certainly they're carrying numbers you wouldn't expect for those two.
Well, I think, you know, be careful on the Sale and Quintana because they each have one really bad start among the group.
Yeah, it definitely amplifies things. Yeah.
And I mean, Sale was pretty good, he has a very small body of work because of the fact that he was hurt in spring training. And you know, I'm sure that doesn't have him up to, you know, 100% quite yet or, you know, because of the fact that he really didn't have a spring. And he also was bothered a little bit by that flu bug that seemed to – it was a great – I mean, not to make light of what happened at Baltimore, it was a terrible situation there, but – not only did they lose two games there and kind of, you know, were told to stay in their hotel, but this flu bug, which was not like your normal flu bug, it really knocked guys out, went through the clubhouse, so that didn't help either. Again, not excuses, they're not playing good baseball right now, no question about it. But I think Sale's going to be fine. Samardzija has talked a little bit about being a power pitcher, it takes him a little bit longer to get going. And I think one thing that has Sox fans a little worried is, he didn't have a great spring either, and you kind of chalk that up to Arizona and that sort of thing. So I think people would like to see him get moving in the right direction. Quintana also got, you know, hit hard by Detroit, which changed it a little bit. I still think the front three can match up with a lot of teams when they're on. And the question is going to be John Danks, Hector Noesi, and then when do you put Carlos Rodon in the starting rotation? You know, let's face it, with no disrespect to Danks, who's been a very solid pitcher for them, longest tenured guy on the White Sox roster in terms of White Sox service. And Noesi was a great find for them last year. But it's not a question of if, it's a question of when Rodon goes in. And the basic thing for Carlos is they want to manage his innings. They don't want him throwing 175, 180, 200 innings his first year after college. So I think this rotation still can be a strong. I haven't seen anything really. You know, the one thing is Chris Sale's slider has not been, you know, where it has been in the past. But he's focusing more. He even talked to us after Minnesota about, you know, locating fastballs, you know, fastball change up more, and then, you know, less sliders means less pressure on your elbow and everything else there. So, again, I that's one reason why I think you can have cautious, far-ranging optimism on this team is that the areas that are troublesome are areas that should be strong before all is said and done. And if they're not, well then, not to dismiss it, but there's not a lot of hope for a great season if it's not going to be there.
Yeah, and offensively, again, an area we expected nice things from this club. At some point, maybe it still happens, but for now, the last 8 games, no home runs, .222 average. Already this season, this team has 13 games scoring 3 runs or less, which is not a great way to win ball games. I think they've only won one of those games, in fact. So what are you seeing offensively? I know Adam Eaton is kind of taking the blame publicly for this because he's the guy who leads things off, and he struggled. It's crazy how much he struggled. And then, of course, the flu bug bit him. You know, he was out of the lineup the last few days this weekend. But, Burke, I guess when a guy shaves his beard, that's when you know it's desperate times, when people start shaving beard.
Yeah. You know, we were waiting for him after that game Thursday, because he did not have a good game Thursday. He had, you know, I think he was 1 for 5 on the day, and then he had 2 real tough plays in center, one where he kind of held the ball too long, and I want to say it was Deddy Santana scored from first on a bloop single, which you can't have happen. And then the next time he kind of overshot the catcher and Sale wasn't behind the plate. So, that, you know, it was a really bad – there wasn't much you can take out of Minnesota except from it being a very nice downtown area in Minneapolis that the Sox gained from this weekend. But yeah, he was standing by his locker, and we were waiting to talk to him. We're like, is that him? Yeah, I guess it is him. He kind of – he said that other guy was bad, so he had to get rid of him. But, you know, it's one of those things, Andy, and you've seen it from covering teams, you know, for as long as you have. It's just one of those things where everyone has gone cold at the same time. There's really – you know, Avi Garcia is hitting the ball pretty well. And off the top of my head, I can't think of really anyone else who's really been consistent right there. Melky Cabrera started to come on a little bit. Abreu has been good for most of the season. He's had a little bit of a slump lately. I mean, Right. Players go into slumps. It just looks worse and when everyone is in the same kind of slump. And the thing is that this has been talked about before. You know, when you don't hit, you look kind of listless.
You look
as
flat,
a team.
Yeah.
Just like when the bullpen's bad, you immediately say, oh, the manager doesn't know what he's doing, you know? I mean, but the manager does have an idea. It's just nothing he puts there works, you know? So I think that's one of the byproducts of that. You know, I still have confidence that these guys who have career track records of hitting a certain level are not suddenly going to drop 50 points and 20 home runs in one season. So, you know, the weather is going to get warmer. It's supposed to be nice this week in Chicago, which is the first really good week. They haven't had a lot of home games either. But, you know, I'm not trying to make excuses because they're not a good team right now. The biggest thing that has to be discovered on this team is, like I said, is it a good team playing bad, or did they just overshoot this season and it really isn't going to be that great a team?
Well, I know Jose Abreu was one of the guys speaking out in I guess, the vote of confidence for Robin Ventura, and he's gotten the vote of confidence from Rick Hahn as well. And that's kind of the normal cycle, I guess, of things when a team goes south. You hear a lot of those public sentiments. But, I mean, realistically, like you said, when nobody's hitting and when the guys you're counting on to come through from a starting standpoint aren't coming through consistently, any manager is going to look bad. But what's your sense of how Robin is handling this slow start, you know, mentally, and what is he doing to – I know there's things that go on with him more behind the scenes than anything we see in the dugout, but, you know, has it gotten the point of having a meeting where he's screaming and yelling, or is it just the standard status quo of just waiting for things to happen all at once?
You know, Robin is very behind the scenes type of thing. You know, you talk to some players, and he does have meetings. As a matter of fact, Tyler Flowers talked to us after Thursday's game and said, you know, they were probably, if stuff like what happened Thursday continued, which it did, they were probably coming in on some sort of meeting. And, I don't know. I on one hand, I understand fan frustration. I understand people pointing to Robin because it's easy to do. You know, I mean, you can't, as the old saying goes, you can't get rid of 25 players. And ultimately, whether it's Robin's responsibility or not, he's the manager, just like, you know, a head coach in basketball or whatever. So he's responsible for everything. And then above him, Rick Hahn and Kenny Williams are responsible for even more. They're, you know, they're in charge of putting this team together and running this team. Sometimes even good managers, and I think Robin is, don't make it because of the fact that you just need a change of voice. You need to change something around. And remember, this is not the last 2 years. You know, you can't blame Robin. That's just ridiculous.
Right.
The teams were not good. They were not built to win the last 2 years. It was part of this reshaping, revamping, whatever you want. This year, the team is built to win. Now, I'm not saying Robin suddenly is dipped as a manager, but I'm just saying this year, you know, there may be a little more pressure. You know, the White Sox, I'm sure, are not satisfied or remotely happy about an 8-14 start and, you know, 7.5 games behind the Royals and the Tigers. But I people will say to me on Twitter, you know, who is he made better? Well, this is not college basketball. This is not college football. this is not, you know, the Southern League or the South Atlantic League.
Yeah, how's the recruiting class looking for next year? Is that...
Yeah, you know, I mean, yeah, they're out of a New Year's Day bowl game for sure. That's been established already. They're not going to play on New Year's Eve with the start, but New Year's Day with the start. But, I mean, he's not there to develop. He's there to build a team and help a team win. And, you know, as John Danks pointed out after his start Sunday, I don't see how it's his fault that, you know, John missed a throw from Adam LaRoche on a cover at first, or John threw the ball away at second on a potential force play. I mean, I was there in spring training. It wasn't like they showed up and there was a sign on the door that said, hey, if you want to work out, we can. Otherwise, Caddyshack's on in the break room. You know, they did this stuff every day. And that's what's got to be very frustrating. They, you know, they worked hard every day, just like any other team. You know, they focused on the fundamentals, and it's just not showing up right now. Eventually, if this team doesn't correct itself, you know, 40, 50, whatever, 60 games in, there may be a change. But the question I always ask back is when people say, get rid of Robin, do this, I ask, well, who's going to make a difference? And, you know, how do you know that? Don't just make it. The Sox have never, as long as I've covered this team 14 years, they've never made a change just to make a change. If you're going to make a change, it's got to make a change for the better, and it's got to, in your mind, make a difference. Just to make a change may give you a short-term boost, but it's not going to correct any of the problems that you have. So, again, Robin is responsible because he's the manager, but I don't think Robin is the cause of this. I think it's guys who are getting paid good money, who have been in the game for a long time, you know, minus a few rookies here and there, that are just not performing through the first 22 games of the season.
Yeah, ultimately, I'm less curious to see if they pull that managerial lever and seeing if they pull other levers with personnel, number one being the change you mentioned in the rotation and when does Carlos Rodon get his shot.
I think that will probably be the quickest move. You know, they really want to limit it to 160 innings, but I think that could be the first change you see is putting him permanently. You know, you can put him in now and then just add, you know, skip starts later on to manage the innings too.
All right. Well, Mr. Merkin is all over it, as always, and hopefully some of you he's talked down from the ledge. I don't know, Merk. It's a rough start, but you're on top of your game. That's all that matters to me.
Well, I appreciate it. I don't know. I think they're still kind of hovering on that ledge there, but, you know, wait and see 40 games, see where they're at, and go from there.
Absolutely. All right. Thank you, Scott Merkin, for joining us. Thank you all for tuning in. This has been MLB.com Extras, Chicago White Sox edition.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.